Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of this day, in this beautiful spring morning, and as the rising of the sun drenched the landscape of our homes and where we live, may the risen Christ drench each of us with his light, drenching the landscape of our hearts and our mind, our body and spirit, so that these words, our meditations, will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So in this gospel reading, emotions are running high. Disciples are gathered in a house where the story says that they had been meeting. Grief and tears, deep heartache and sorrow. I mean, you and I, we know about deep grief and loss, and it doesn't get much harder, much deeper than what was happening here. And you picked up on it, right? The disciples, they're in a shutdown mode. The house is locked up, for it says fear of the Jews, but really I think it's more fears of the soldiers that they might be next. And isn't it amazing? It wasn't the soldiers who appeared in their midst. Who was it? It was the risen Christ. And I think they must have recognized him, but they had difficulty actually believing it was him. So what does he do? He shows them his hands and the wound and his side. And then it says they rejoice. They realize that it was Jesus. It was proof. His presence, his wounds, his aliveness is that proof that he was, is Jesus, and proof that death had no hold on him. And oh my goodness, the same is true for each of us. Yes, there is that death, there is that parting of this earthly life, but in Christ Jesus, we believe that there is more to come. There is more in our heavenly home, because you see, one of the mistakes I think that we make in our earthly pilgrimage is that we identify ourselves as human beings. But I think the immigration, one of the places where they do have it right, is that if you're from a different country, we're called aliens. You are all aliens. We are all aliens. We come from a different place. And so the mistake part, our identity so much, we see ourselves as human beings first, but in actuality, we are spiritual beings first. We have come from a distant country, a distant land, and upon our earthly death, we are welcomed back home into that place. And so Jesus, he has a real deep sense of what's going on with his disciples, doesn't he? He says, peace be with you. And a second time, after he shows them the wounds, he says, peace be with you. And this is not, hear this, this is not the fleeting peace that the world offers. And it is fleeting, isn't it? It is fleeting. This peace be with you are Jesus's words of blessing that he is speaking over the disciples. So just hold on to that peace be with you is actually a blessing that Jesus is speaking into this muddled, messy mess of emotions. A blessing of God's kingdom peace. God's kingdom peace, of God's shalom. And most of you realize that God's shalom is much more than peace. Peace is at the heart. But there's also not only God's peace, but God's wellness and wholeness be with you. People of grace, this morning, God's peace and wellness and wholeness be with each of you wherever it is needed. And so Jesus has a starting point. So I'm just looking out. I don't see any of you reading the announcements yet. So I'm just appreciative of that. And I'm not kidding, by the way. But there is much more to God's shalom, his kingdom peace, his wellness and wholeness. And to look out upon the disciples who were gathered in fear and the doors were locked, doesn't seem to be much wellness and wholeness. Doesn't seem to be much peace at work in their lives. And so he has a starting point for this blessing of shalom. And the starting point is very poignant with these words. And he looks at the disciples and he tells them, he shares with them, he speaks to them, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. For me, it's a little bit easier to understand that same verse in the Message translation. If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? And the consequences of holding on to the unforgiveness. Jesus knew that God's shalom, God's peace and wellness and wholeness is not compatible with unforgiveness and with fear. The two simply do not mix. God's shalom and unforgiveness and fear. For you see, unforgiveness invariably becomes life diminishing. Unforgiveness can so easily turn into anger and fear and resentment and bitterness. Unforgiveness not only is life diminishing, unforgiveness and fear can rob us of the very joy that Jesus has said, I have come so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I mean, just think for a moment the last time that you were being affected by fear, whether to do this or make this decision or to step forward, or whenever you were holding on to unforgiveness, was that a joyful moment for you? No, of course not, right? See, this is how this works. So over time, unforgiveness can actually impact our emotional and physical health, and not for the good. Unforgiveness, like fear, causes us to settle. Unforgiveness, like fear, causes us to settle for being less than who God has created us to be. That's the power, that's the influence of fear and unforgiveness, is settling for being less than who God has created us to be. Forgiveness, though, on the other hand, forgiveness leads to new life. It sets us free from the stronghold of such things as the emotions that the disciples were experiencing, their grief, their anger, their confusion, perhaps their resentment and bitterness. I can remember it was, I think, 2004. And at that time, Bishop, I was the director of a healing prayer center at St. Luke's called the Centurion House. And Bishop Johnson had called me and said, I've gotten word that the rector at Good Shepherd in Hayesville is announcing he's leaving this Sunday, and he's gone. And he's taking a third of that congregation. And they're moving across Lake Chattoogan to North Georgia and starting another church. And I said, would you go for 6 months and just help them heal? I mean, can you imagine what they were feeling? You know, the unfaithfulness, the betrayal, the all done in secrecy. That was what was so hurtful. And it wasn't just the pastor. There were probably about 35, 40 in this together. And so I told Bishop Johnson, I said, yes, I feel led to do that. I didn't know how you help heal a congregation, from such unfaithfulness, really, such hurt. And the senior warden at the time was a retired Delta pilot. And he came up to me after a few weeks. He said, John, all we really need you to do with us and for us, remind us that God loves us and let us know that you love us as well. This church, this parish has had amazing, amazing pastors who have done that so well. I only go back to Bill Edwards, but if you keep coming through, that sense of God's love. And so there was a point, probably about in the second or third of that 6 months, and by the way, in God's mathematics, 6 months turned into 8 years. Isn't that good? God has a plan, and so often it's a surprising one. But I felt very strongly standing at the pulpit, a good shepherd, and talking about forgiveness and how important it was for them to let go, to surrender, to forgive all of their friends that they worshiped with. They had meals together. They played golf together, went on trips together. All of a sudden, there was a third of those folk, good people, were missing. And so I remember standing up there and said, it's so important that you forgive. And it's important for them, but it's most important for you. So that you not, what are you going to do with the unforgiveness that you're carrying? And I can still remember folks in the pews, they were so hurt. The unforgiveness had such a hold on them, they actually began shaking their heads no. And I don't think they even realized it. That was the power of unforgiveness. And so Jesus knows this, how we are affected by these situations. He knows the life-diminishing consequences of unforgiveness. And by the way, eventually the folks at Good Shepherd did forgive. Remember, good friends of mine have written a book. It says, don't forgive too soon. Does that make sense? There's a message there. The things we have to work through in order to forgive and to let go and surrender. But there is a point of choosing. And because Jesus knows it's hard for us, forgiveness is hard work, right? And so I think that's why he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he says, receive the, this is the interactive part. Receive the Holy Spirit. And Jesus breathes on them. And so, Lord Jesus, would you breathe on us this morning? Breathe your Holy Spirit upon us. Stir up your Holy Spirit within, that's already within us. And give us the desire to surrender whatever fears that we might be carrying, whatever unforgiveness that you might be carrying, whether it's from this last week or last year or from a long time. Grace is present. Holy Spirit is present to help us let go. There is, we are about ready to embark upon a new chapter in the life of grace. And it's going to be an exciting one. I don't believe it's going to be an easy one. But who wants an easy one? Who wants a parish whose vision is so small that we don't need God? Lord, I bless us with a vision so great that we need you every day, every week. Amen? And so, but in that sense, whatever that we are carrying, like the disciples back then, whatever unforgiveness or fear, it will get in the way of us receiving the fullness of the joy of the risen Christ and the fullness of the life abundant that Jesus. And so I bless each of us. I bless that Holy Spirit within each of us to stir within us, to choose to let go. Let God help you let go whatever fear or unforgiveness Perhaps when you come to the altar rail this morning, is to just kind of see that, just place that on the altar, just visually, just see that. Or sometime this desire, that this coming week, that the desire to forgive, it won't let us go. It's going to continue to linger until you and I say yes. For what is at stake is that the fullness of life, the fullness of joy, the fullness of the resurrection in our lives that we have to share with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.